Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled Repentance is Not Works. This is part two of two.
A lot of your conservative politicians don't go to church, don't make a profession, and a lot of them that they do, they go to liberal churches. George Bush on video saying he believes that we all pray to the same God and the Bible's not literally true and all that stuff. Yeah. The word effectually basically means it cannot do anything but work. If you receive it as the Word of God, it will work in you. And so everything involved in salvation, repentance, faith, everything from that point on, it is God that works in you. Amen? So repentance is a result of simply receiving the Word of God as the Word of God, and that works in you to produce repentance. God's Word does the work. Repentance is not a work that you do, but it's a work that God does in you. Acts 11:18 says, when they heard these things, this is after Paul was saved, by the way, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You get that? God granted repentance to us Gentiles. Yeah, it's unto life. And thank God for those Gentiles down there in the book of Acts are what eventually led to you and me hearing the Word of God. And all you did wasn't a work. You simply received the Word of God. Now, I've had guys say, well, that's work. Believe it or not. I'm like, listen, if I hand you $50 and you reach out to take that $50, it's still a gift. You receiving that $50 is not work. And it's just the same thing in the spiritual realm when you receive the Word of God. And God grants repentance unto life. Now, there's more, but have you seen enough? I mean, do you need more? I think anybody who's a Bible believer who hears what they've heard in the last 25 minutes or so that I've been up here yapping has seen and heard enough. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. Point number three is what I said a moment ago. Repentance produces works, not vice versa. Repentance produces works. It's not works that produces repentance. Look over, if you're in Acts, or you might be in Timothy, but go over to Acts 26. This is getting right down to the end of the book of Acts. So the hyper-dispensationalists start to drop like flies at this point. The only people who would still reject what we're about to read are the hyper-Bullingerite types that cut the Bible up into pieces. But Acts 26, beginning verse 15, says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So this is Paul recounting when he was saved on the road to Damascus. And we're clear that this is Jesus speaking. Verse 16 says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now, look at verse 17. It says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now, here's what Paul's ministry is going to entail, according to Jesus Christ. Verse 18, read it with me. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, I don't care who you are. You cannot preach that with and not see that that's a call to repentance. That's a call for people whose eyes are closed to open their eyes, to turn. That's what repentance is. To turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's repentance toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He's describing, he's defining repentance. Verse 19, he continues, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea." And now read the rest of that with me. "And then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." He uses the word twice. And he's telling you what Jesus told him to preach. Jesus told Paul to call the Gentiles to repent and turn to God and do works, not repentance isn't the work, to do works meet for repentance, meaning demonstrate your repentance by those works. You don't work for repentance, you work because of your repentance. Now, Jesus told Paul that's his ministry. These people are out there teaching this stuff that repentance of sins is not part of the gospel call. They call themselves Pauline. They'll tell you, "Oh, Paul is our apostle." No, you reject Paul if you're teaching that repentance is not part of the gospel call. You are rejecting the very commission of Jesus Christ to the apostle Paul if you deny repentance and the repentance of sins. And if you call it a work. This tells us that Paul's commission from Jesus Christ was to call unsaved sinners to repentance and faith, as I just said. Now, that brings us to point number four. Repentance does not come after salvation. It's been a strange thing. I've witnessed over the last few years, especially some preachers who preached repent of your sins and believe on the Lord and be saved, suddenly started saying, well, repentance comes after salvation. It's a result of salvation. Because they bought the lie that repentance is a work. So then they had to make it something after salvation. See, heresy begets heresy. Once you accept the idea that repentance is a work, then you have to really screw things up. And that's what a lot of preachers are doing. But Jesus and Paul both make it clear that repentance does not come after salvation. We're in Acts. Turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 20. I've already quoted verse 21, but I want to look at the context. Acts chapter 20, beginning of verse 17. That gives us context. "And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house," read verse 20, "testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." According to this, the repentance is required before you can have faith. So it can't come after salvation because you're saved by what? By grace through faith. And right here, am I wrong? Black and white. Paul testified to the unsaved Jews and the unsaved Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark this down. Every preacher who stands in a pulpit and says that repentance is a work is bearing false witness against the Word of God and accusing Paul of preaching works for salvation. That's a fact. So when you hear some guy up there denounce repentance as works and say you shouldn't call on sinners to repent, you're dealing with somebody who is deceived. And it doesn't come after salvation. It leads to and is part of salvation. If repentance were a result of salvation, then why would Jesus say this in Mark 1:15? This is Jesus and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." If repentance were something that came after salvation, then Jesus would have said, believe in the gospel, and then you can repent. That's not what he said. And the people who are claiming that repentance is a result of salvation are hacking the Bible up like the devil. Like he did in Genesis 3 and Matthew 4. And it's really an amazing thing to watch. And I have to say it. And you can see the destruction spiritually that's been caused by Curtis Hudson and Jack Hiles, Sword of the Lord. You go back and read the sermons of John R. Rice, he preached what you're hearing tonight. And Curtis Hudson came along, and because they wanted big numbers, and Jack Hiles started preaching that repentance is the enemy of soul winning. I'll tell you what's the enemy of soul winning. Preaching a false gospel. Preaching a gospel without repentance is the enemy of soul winning. And it's a sad, sad thing. And by the way, a lot of Hiles people, I know them, and a lot of them came out of his school and his, everything, and they read their Bible. And they preached what the Bible taught them to preach, not what Jack Hiles taught them to preach. Amen. And it makes you wonder when you see Jack's own life with the accusations and his son and then his son-in-law and what's happened with them. Maybe if they had repented, they wouldn't be where they are today. I know when I first got saved, there were people convincing me that it was okay for Christians to do this and that, and it led me into bad things for a while. For a few years, I struggled. And then I'm reading the Bible, but I'm under the influence of these other people. When I turned them off and just read the Bible, it's funny how everything kind of cleared up. If somebody else is telling you this stuff and you're reading your Bible and it's just not washing, turn them off. Whether it's a preacher or your best friend, turn them off. Don't let anybody get between you and the Lord and His Word. Number four, repentance is not just sorrow or being sorry. What's that? Oh, it is? Let me change that for the sake of the record here. Point number five. Repentance is not just sorrow. You hear people say that. Well, you're teaching everybody. No, I've never told anybody that repentance is sorrow. And you hear people say that. But the Bible is clear that sorrow works repentance in us. It's a part of the process, I guess you'd say. We studied this in 2 Corinthians in our studies years ago. Chapter 7, verse 10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. And you know what people will tell me? They'll say, well, that's not about salvation. Well, let's keep reading. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to what? I'm like, how can you say that when we're looking right at it? And it says it's to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, yeah, sorrow isn't repentance. But it is a sorrow, sorry for sin, sorry for your sins that put Jesus on the cross. I don't know how anybody could be saved without being sorry for the fact that Jesus had to die for your sins. First thing I said after I got saved was, Lord, I'm so sorry. I just remember I was so sorry. I didn't say, and Lord, I'm going to quit sinning so I can be saved. That's what they accuse us of preaching. That's not what we're preaching. We're saying that you are a dirty, rotten, filthy, wicked sinner who deserves hell. And when you're saved, you know that. And you call on Jesus, say, thank you so much. Saving me in spite of myself. Washing my sins away. Thank you, Lord. It's not works. In order to cause confusion, the enemies of the gospel lie about repentance. There's so many references we can run, but you remember in Galatians, Paul talked about those who he said he was sorry to report they're now enemies of the gospel. enemies of the cross. That's happened to a lot of guys. They get started out. All these guys, if you're not talking about this issue and you just ask them, what happened when you got saved? I've heard them. I've heard guys tell their story and they'll say, oh, you know, I just came under conviction and I knew I was a sinner. And I just turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And I saved me. And then 5-10 years later, and a lot of them are screwed up in Bible colleges, by the way, seminaries. Then they'll start telling people, you don't need to repent of your sins in order to be saved. They did, but now they're deceived and leading other people into a false conversion. This song we opened up with tonight, some of you came in a little late, but we sang this to start with, Victory in Jesus. They're ripping it out of their hymn books now. And some of them are editing it, but a lot of them are ripping it out of their hymn books, won't even sing it, because it's being deleted by heretics. They, you know how they're taking the blood out and everything else. That one line. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. And these heretics are ripping it out of the hymn book. Yeah. Matthew 9:13. Jesus speaking, he says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, if you teach that repentance is a work, you're accusing Jesus of preaching work salvation. Think of that. But he's calling sinners to repentance of what? Not being sinners. How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, it's just amazing. So real quick, I want to run down a couple of these things. This is what they'll say. Anti-repentance lies is what I'll call it. False teachers will pretend that we preach that, as I mentioned, that you must stop sinning in order to be saved. I have never told anybody, if you want to be saved, stop sinning. Never said that. And they'll falsely act like that's how... They'll just say it like it's without skipping a beat. You're calling on people to repent or repent of their sins. You can't stop sinning in order to be saved. You're like, what? I never said you could. See how that works? They misrepresent what you are saying. It's called a straw man. And then they tear it down and pretend that they've answered you. Just listen to these guys. They've got a satanic deception about them. Jesus, when he dealt with Satan in Matthew 4, or go back to the garden, how did Satan deal with Eve? Hath God said, thou shalt not surely die. Yeah. Added one word, not. This is, I got a little meme here that goes around the internet. This is the false accusation, the false teachers. Repent of your sins to be saved? No one is going to get saved if you convince them they have to first stop sinning. That's not what we're saying. That liar, whoever made the meme and all the people sharing it, is false. They are speaking false. They've taught themselves to speak lies like we read in Jeremiah. We are not telling people that repenting of your sins means to stop sinning. And so the whole thing's a false statement. It's a lie. No one can. Amen. No one can. And no one ever could stop sinning. In this life, that's absolutely true. That's the entire reason why Jesus came to die on the cross in the first place, to pay for our sins. That makes no sense. Jesus came to pay for our sins, but not so we could keep on sinning. He came to pay for our sins, and you and I ought to be trying to overcome sin by the power of God. But we're real, and we know we're going to fail. But we're not going to predict it and say, today I plan on failing 100 times. Praise the Lord. And there's a lot in Romans we're going to study that'll deal with that kind of thing. A second, false teachers will claim we are teaching salvation by keeping the law. How in the world has repentance got anything to do with the law? Which commandment is that? Where is that commandment that says, keep repent of your sins And where does that ever say that that's a work? See how dishonest that is? We dealt with that. The law plays a part. The law is our schoolmaster. You look at the law and it shows you you need to be saved because of sin. The law brings sin to mind. It reminds you, or it teaches you, it's your schoolmaster. So what's that been? That then causes you to repent. See how that works? Number three, Gnosticism denies repentance of sins for salvation. How many of you heard of Gnosticism? That's what John was dealing with in 1 John. That's why he said things like this in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He's dealing with a bunch of people who were saying they were Christians of a higher knowledge. Gnosticism. Gnostic. That's what agnostic means, you have no knowledge. And a Gnostic claims to have a higher knowledge. These people who are teaching this about repentance, they're closet Gnostics. Or you might call them semi-Gnostics. Because they think you're stupid. They think you're spiritually ignorant. And you haven't reached the high level that they have to see through all this. That's how they'll talk to you when you talk to them. And they act as though sin doesn't have anything to do with it. When the gospel, it says right there in the 1 Corinthians 15:3 on the wall there, how that Christ died for our what?
Sins.
Well, didn't even know I did that to myself. There it is. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the crux of the gospel. Number four, antinomians reject repentance of sins for salvation. Why? Do you know what an antinomian is? Antinomian means, nomia is like law. Anti means to believe there's no law. So the antinomians basically teach, you're saved. So now sin like the devil. Enjoy yourself. Folks, that's what's being taught by most evangelical churches today without coming out and saying it. They put up, then they don't preach repentance of sin. They don't preach against sin. You can be involved in any the worst sins possible, and you'll never be confronted. It's, again, kind of a closet antinomianism in our churches today. Now, turn back to Jude. I believe this is our last reference, but Jude has one chapter, so just go to verse 4. And this describes these guys who are not preaching repent of sins. They're not preaching against sin. They basically have a sinless world, a sin-free gospel or something, however you want to say that. Verse 4 in Jude. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, read that, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They are turning the grace of our God into porn. That's what they're doing. They're turning the grace of our God into porn. They're turning it into lawlessness, lust, self-fulfillment. It's all about self today. That's what this is all about. Number five, they will not tell you that throughout Christian history, Christians called on men to repent of sins and unbelief and believe the gospel. In other words, they called on men to repent and believe the gospel, just like Jesus said. Look again at Jude in verse 3. That's why Jude, he wanted to talk about salvation. He wanted to write about salvation, but he says this, verse 3, read it with me. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's exactly why Jude had to change the tone of his letter. Because in the first century, let me tell you some things that was going on in the first century. Do you know, in the, we'll say, first and second century, there were already false Bibles? Do you know that? There are already false Bibles. There were already people teaching that you should be baptized to be saved. There were already people trying to set up Nicolaitan cults. Read it in Revelation. That's what he mentions in chapters 2 and 3 to the churches of Asia. And there were already people preaching a gospel that had nothing to do with sins or repentance of sins. And that's what Jude is dealing with right there. And they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. So I should have put my Columbo right before the Jude reference, shouldn't I? But didn't get to that this time. One more thing. See, and I wish I could time it so that everybody was in Charlie's shoes, because he's dealing with somebody who's asked him, is repentance a work? But I'm telling you, you're going to face these questions. So learn now. Prepare. Kim?
What's the biblical definition of sin? I've heard it said that it's like missing the mark, but is it more than that? Or?
No, I think that's... But in 1 John, we're given a specific definition here. Get my Bible over there. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. That's why the law, people, you hear these people who preach what we're talking about tonight, they don't call on people to repent of sins. And a lot of these guys, Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son, has been teaching that the law doesn't have anything to do with Christians anymore and all that. The law brings you to Christ as a schoolmaster, and the law remains the standard. Now, the thing is, as a Christian, you don't walk around with your list of commandments. You have it written on your heart. The Holy Spirit convicts you and helps you to avoid sin and avoid His law, breaking His law. But there it is. That's what the Bible says. And I've heard fall short of the mark. And that I was telling Jenny that definition falls short. But the miss the mark is, I think, a good, but what mark? And that is the perfect law of God. And Jesus is the standard in bodily form. And until you're living up to Jesus' standard, you're missing it.
How are you pronouncing it? Marin Anor, one of the onliners. I have a question. Technically, I believe you can't repent for your sins if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, don't you technically have faith in Jesus by believing first before you repent?
Well, no. Jesus said repent and believe the gospel. We covered that. That's what's being taught by a lot of people. But the Holy Spirit is causing you to repent. That was the whole point of the earlier part of the message. If they didn't hear that, or go back and listen again where we lay that out. It's when you receive the Word of God. Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Spirit, capital S. When you receive the Word of God, that's how you receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Word, amen? Capital W. Small W is where His Word gets into you, and those words are Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. And so when you receive the Word of God, that's how you receive the Spirit. And that Word, the Spirit works through that Word and produces repentance. See, that's a good question, because these guys who want to, teach falsely will say that it's impossible for an unsaved person to repent of their sins. Hogwash. It's nonsense. The Holy Spirit comes on you before you're saved and convicts you of your sin. Now, how does an unsaved person become convicted of sin? He ain't doing it of his own self. It's the Holy Spirit working in him. And the same thing's true about the repentance. Once you receive the Word of God, and you receive the message of the gospel as the truth, then that produces repentance. It's not something you do. And again, that comes back to, it's impossible for an unsaved person to repent of sins. That's kind of a true statement, because it's not that person doing it. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God doing it in the sinner.